Amen. Well, I got to tell you, just an open admission here. I am going to continue speaking tonight on the faith-filled life. It's a series that we're doing, and I like it when we talk about our faith, when faith produces things that are really cool. When somebody really has to exercise their faith and God just pours into them provision, whether it's finances or a new job or something that they really, really need, had no idea what they were going to do next, and then boom, God shows up. I love it when we have the testimonies, when somebody prays, exercises their faith, and their bodies are healed, or something happens, maybe dynamically at work, and you just prayed for somebody, or maybe a relative that you prayed, and they come to know the Lord Jesus. Those are moments that you don't have to encourage celebration. Celebration is automatically built in the title. But tonight we're going to go a little bit on the other side of that, and it's not adverse, it's not in conflict to that, but sometimes your faith takes you to tough places, and that's where we're going to go. But I want to remind you of some of the scriptures that we have prefaced every Sunday night. Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for, the assurance about what we do not see." It's that thing that is there in our mind, in our head, in our spirit, but you don't see it with your eyes. It's that thing you step out on. Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Faith is probably one of the greatest components in our connection and relationship with Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we live by faith and not sight." It's that exercise every day that we get up, and there's so many things that we do that we know we're going to do. You know, we just plan on it. They're physical things. They're things that are built into our schedule. You know you're going to get up in the morning. The alarm clock's going to go off. You're going to eat breakfast, get your coffee, run through McDonald's, whatever. You're going to get in the car. You got this job that you're going to do. If you're a teacher, you're going to go to the classroom. If you're a student, you're going to go to the classroom. And you're going to listen to everything the teacher says. And everything you teach, they're going to absorb like a sponge to water. And that's where faith comes in. And you're just praying that this really happens. But tonight I want to tackle basically the why behind the what. There are things that happen to us as Christians that they make you want to go, what? You just can't believe this is happening. And you've heard it said like this: why do bad things happen to good people? It's not a conflict in our reasoning. It's an honest question. And you know what? You understand it's okay to ask these questions. There's a difference between asking the question for understanding and saying, God, I can't believe that you would do this to me and accuse him of something that he's not guilty of. So we want to look at this, and it's kind of like another phrase we could put it like this, is when things don't make sense. And I look at that word sense, and in the dictionary, this is what the definition of sense is. It says sound, practical intelligence. Something that I can put my feet on. It makes sense to me. I intellectually can understand this. I know that 2 plus 2, you get 2 apples, put 2 more together, that's going to make 4. I can see it. It makes sense to me. It's logical. But when things happen sometimes in our world, it doesn't make any sense. And we go to God and we say, God, what's going on? You see, there's times when God is hard to figure out. And it's not because God is pulling back. It's not because God is not revealing things to us. It's just that the difference between our human experience and God's will sometimes is not in conflict, but it's hard to understand. I mean, that's the whole definition of faith. Did you hear it just a minute ago? It's literally believing for those things you cannot see. Your senses tell you it's not there. It's not visible. It tells you that you can't pray for this and have God do that. It's just not going to happen. In the logical world, apart from God, it doesn't make any sense. But in the faith world, it does. And we love to celebrate those things, but there are times that we have to exercise our faith. And I let me just use this word. It gets you just have to get down and get dirty. It's like when you have to get into the carpet and you really have to just pray for God to help you. It's not, I'm excited about this opportunity. It's not, wow, God, you got the emotion stirring. A lot of times we're emotionless. A lot of times we're having a struggle to find exactly where the connection is, but we have to go through this because our faith has led us there. We will not relinquish the relationship we have with Christ because of something that we are facing. And these are not times of imagination or reality. And it's not even those times of worry where 75% of the things that we worry about don't happen. Instead of that, the conflict is we know two things. God is God. God is in control. And he's sovereign. We have no question with that, but the circumstance doesn't lead us there. So we need to exercise our faith so we can believe this. It's not that we question His authority or His love or His judgment. But did you know that it's okay to just say, I don't understand. I don't understand. I've had the privilege of serving with and serving under some pretty dynamic people, in my opinion. I mean, Brother Brumman was just a giant in the faith. Brother Newbern, these people. And it's not because one was a district superintendent, the other was the pastor that hired me. But, you know, this pastor, Pastor Brumman, I saw him lose his son when he was only 48 years old. And he had been through so much. He'd had a neck injury and all of these things. And he, I remember him saying, you know, God, I'm beat up. I'm an old man. I'm crippled in many, many ways. I can't get around. He had to literally, if he was going to look at you over here, he had to turn his whole body because his neck wouldn't go that way. He said, take me, not my son. And his son was the CEO of One Oak. I mean, just these things, that they don't make sense, but he had to just keep exercising his faith. It's tough when your words have to represent how you feel and your faith in God much more than your spirit. It's not that we've eliminated the spirit, but the circumstances, sometimes it just doesn't make sense, and it hurts, and it's arduous, and it's difficult. Let me take you to Psalms 37:23 real quick. It says this, the Lord makes firm the steps of those who delight in Him. He makes those steps firm, those who delight in Him. Sometimes it's not yay, it's not yippee, it's not exciting. We did not win. This is not going to end well. The life that I wanted to be extended isn't going to be extended. I'm going to tell you what, we are praying for a miracle for Virginia McMillan. But the doctors say, and all the physical indications are, that now that her kidneys are shutting down, and I'm not proclaiming anything, but I'm going to tell you, in the logical, physical sense, we've seen this happen time and time again, she will not be with us much longer. But that's when your faith has to get down there and say, God, help me to go through all of those things that I know, the facts that are being told to me, the reports that are given me, help me to stir down deep inside and find the faith that is the foundation of who I am, because you know who you are, you know what you're doing, and your will is greater than mine. That is tough stuff right there. It is tough stuff, but God is going to help us. When bad things happen to us, our expectations end up in disappointments. It's a tough road. One pastor put it this way. When we are crushed by things, we're crushed by people or pressures, we just don't understand. I have put my faith in Jesus. I'm a child of the King, just like you. So why is this happening? God, what are you doing? Openly or privately, we have all had these same agonizing thoughts and questions. And it's not about questioning the authority of God, but it is the difference between asking that honest question, God, what is going on? Help me to exercise my faith to stay solid in my relationship with you instead of drifting over here into blame and rebellion. Because that's where Satan wants you to go. Anytime adversity comes in our direction, anytime a difficulty shows its ugly head, he wants us to go to blame and accusation that is associated with rebellion, than a faith that drives us back to a God that says, I don't know what's happening, I don't know why this happened, but I know one thing, my God reigns, and my God is supreme, and my God loves me, and regardless of what I can see, he sees better than I, and I trust in him. So let me remind you of Isaiah 55. It says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts that are higher than your thoughts. The difference there is higher. It's more supreme. God knows what he's doing. I heard this illustration years ago, and it was about, you know, a riverboat. And as they were going down the river pushing this load, there was this tugboat situation, and the fog had settled in, and everybody down on deck was freaking out. But they said, you know what? We're not worried because our captain is up on the bridge, which is above the fog, and he can see everything about what's going. We're down here, can't see anything, but he sees everything. And that's the position that God is in, and that increases our faith. Where we have a limited capacity, he has no limits. He's limitless, and he knows exactly what he's doing. This is not God saying, listen, because I said so. Do you have a parent like that? Everybody deserves a parent like that. Because I said so. Because I'm your dad, that's why. My mom didn't say that. She said, because your dad said so, that's why. She always used him for leverage. It's amazing how that goes. But I had that all of my life. I don't ever remember having to ask or getting to ask the second question. I asked it once and it didn't go well, so I never asked it again. I never asked for understanding for my, because I'm the dad and because I said so. And then he would go on this diatribe, something about as long as you live in my house and eat my food and something like that. Instead, we should take courage that God knows what he's doing. And the things that are happening are for our benefit. We'll let that soak in just for a second. Everything that happens in our life through the eyes of faith are for our benefit. That is so hard to believe, isn't it? Pastor, people are being captured and beheaded and martyred because they claim Christ as their Savior. Can you really tell me that all of that is happening for their benefit? In a logical, common sense? No. I have a hard time understanding. I cannot represent or defend that statement. But I will tell you this much. Even though I don't know how to explain it on a human level, something in my spirit says that God is still in control. Regardless of what man does to man, God will never cease being God. And I don't know how to represent that. It doesn't make any sense on this world. But the next world, somehow I'll understand. It's amazing. We've explained things how that we forgot our car keys, so we had to go back into the house, and then we're on our way to work, and we see an accident, and we realize, in our logic, we try to kind of realize and go, wow, that 30 seconds prevented this accident. If I'd have been in this intersection when I probably would have, if it hadn't have been for the... Hey, listen, we can do those things to kind of make it kind of sound a little more spiritual or more exciting. I don't know if that's the truth or not, but you see, God knows all of those things. That's a human explanation. Can you imagine all the things that God is doing behind the scenes that we don't even know? We don't even see. But if your faith starts to wane, if you quit being faithful, if you start questioning God and holding him responsible for things that you can't understand, instead of just reminding yourself, this is a time to exercise my faith in him just being God, trusting him, then you're going to miss the whole thing and it's not going to go well. Well, when Lynn, things don't make sense, I just want you to remember this. Number one, two things real quick. Difficulties make us stronger. Difficulties make us stronger. They cause us to grow. The only reason you grew up wasn't because you were born and there's just this automatic thing that happens and you're going to turn into a child and you're going to turn into a teenager and then a man or a woman. No. There are all of these things that have contributed to that. And you didn't grow up just because it's the natural thing to do. There are a lot of difficulties. You had to learn how to resist gravity. And you began crawling. And then you wanted to stand up regardless of how you needed to be assisted. And you began to go around the house. And you fail a whole bunch. And you learned through all of those things, you learned how to walk. And then you learned how to run. And all of these things, it's in our mind. We understand that spiritually sometimes it's hard to apply. Adversity and pain and problems and troubles are never welcome. I don't get up every morning saying, Father, please fill my day with a lot of problems so that I'll grow in my faith. I don't pray that prayer. What I pray is that God give me the faith for the things that are going to come my way, that are not going to go my way. The things that are in other people's lives, God give me the faith to believe on you for them because they need assistance right now. But we should be grateful for their existence, not because of what they produce, but because of their presence. Certainly, they don't produce good things. We don't feel good because we had an accident with a car, or the transmission broke, or we broke out into a fever. That's not what we do. This isn't saying, God, thank you for those things. It's thank you that exists because of what they're going to produce in my life. Got a couple of athletes in our congregation tonight, and they're doing an awful lot of things, training for some sports, and you know what? They could just show up and play sports all they want to, but it's all that training, it's all that discipline, it's all of that practice that's going to make them a better athlete. It's going to tune and fine-tune their abilities, and they're going to be better because of all the resistance. I bet they don't get up every day going, yippee, let's do this. No athlete does it. Every athlete trains, and they just beat their body. Even Paul says that. He says, this is what I do to get there. Let's talk about pain for a second. What good is pain? Pain indicates there's a problem, and you better investigate and do something about it. I've told you about my brother-in-law, Rick. He's a paraplegic from the leg down. He had a horrible industrial accident years and years ago in the late 70s, paralyzed him from the waist down. He's been in a wheelchair ever since. And he was working on his houseboat one day, and he found a trail of blood. He'd cut his foot wide open, never felt a thing. You know why? Because he never had pain. He had to see the blood to know that he was even injured. Pain is a good thing in that context. Never welcome, not a whole lot of fun, but that's what it does. Problems, they indicate and instigate solutions that needs to bring about improvements. Sometimes there's a problem in your marriage, not because you have a horrible marriage, but because there's a possibility for great improvement. Sometimes there's a problem at work because relationships need to be better, because the working environment needs to be improved. Think about friction. Friction always precedes traction. Nobody likes friction in relationships. But I'm going to tell you what, without friction, I know this is kind of a little weird, but you know, it is that the whole thing, without friction, your wheels don't move, your car doesn't move, you don't go anywhere. That's what it works at. But we have to just understand, these things happen in our spiritual life as well. The idea that hardship is beneficial is difficult to appreciate, especially in a culture that says, I don't want pain, I don't want discomfort, I don't want to have to wait in line, I don't want to have to work, I want it given to me. We're raising a generation that wants to just sit back and just receive and never give. They wanted the benefits of everything that somebody else has worked hard for without the hard work. And listen, this is not a tag on the young folks. This is a tag on our culture. This is a tag on our society. And God forbid we be Christians the same way. That we just want revival without prayer. We want spiritual things to happen without us having to pay the price. We want God to show up without us ever having to read our Bible and on and on and on. We want the worship team to do so well and the music is so great and, you know, and every now and then they'll show up on time. Wouldn't that be cool? You know, and all of these, listen, that was the pastor getting ahead of himself, okay? I got the cart in front of the horse, forgive me, so don't send any anonymous letters to John. Send them to me because I don't read them anyway. So here's the deal. We want all of these things, but we don't want to pay the price for it. You know what? Your faith says, you know what? This is not a concentration on what's going to happen. This is an exercise in faith because I'm going to trust God for what needs to happen. And you know what? When God shows up, incredible things happen. Most people reject the thought of challenges and struggles as a regular part of God's plan for our life. Did you know that God has scheduled those things into your life? It's hard to believe, isn't it? But God has things tomorrow that are going to irritate you to death that he's put in that place. And if you react to it in faith, God's going to do some cool things in your life. If you react in it in the wrong way, then it's going to be a negative thing for you. But God can do some powerful things. 1 Thessalonians 3 says this, "No one should be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them." Paul is talking about him and his crew. He says, "In fact, we were with you. We kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know." Isn't Paul that guy that said, cool, let me see here. I've been shipwrecked. I've been snake bit. I've been beat up. They stoned me. Woohoo! Look at all the great things I did for God. I'm going, Paul, bless your heart. I bet he was pretty ugly. Beat up and all this other stuff. But all you can see and sense in his spirit is how much he loved serving the Lord. I think his faith took him that way. John 16, chapter verse 33 says, "In this world you will have trouble." It doesn't say you might. It doesn't say anything other than about that. It says you will. This is a positive statement. This is not a question. This isn't a proposal. This is it. Tough times in the life of the faithful indicate, guess what? That God is preparing you for something. So when it gets rough, don't go, God, why me? Start looking up. God, what now? What now? I can't wait to see what you're going to do from all of this. Now that is a disciplined reaction to that. Because your natural, physical, human response is, God, what in the world are you doing? Why would you allow this to happen to me? But instead, you need to start looking for the cool things that God wants. We try to avoid conflict on every opportunity. We try to resist things that aren't pleasant and wonderful. We don't want to go out of our way, but you'll find that on those trips, when God is involved, beautiful things happen, and God is doing some powerful things. Listen, trials are a part of the track record of the devoted follower of Christ. You name me one person who you honor their life, you follow their life, you think that is a really great devoted follower of the Lord Jesus Christ who has escaped trials and pain and difficult and adversity and all these things. Listen, they're riddled with these circumstances. But you know what? You honor and you see their life. You go, if only I could be half the man or half the woman she is. You see, these beat up grandmas that are just these incredible prayer warriors, you look back through their lives and you're going to find there were tough stuff. They lost kids previous to when they were supposed to. They said, you know, we're supposed to go first. Some of them lost their children. Some of them have lost a lot of things in their life. They've gone through heartache. Their houses have burned down. They've had problems. You name it, all kinds of things. But you see this spiritual dynamic in them, and it's their faith rising to the surface. Everybody knows the principle of exercise, and it goes like this. Resistance is required to make you stronger. So the next time you reach out spiritually, because I know none of us are going to do it physically, spiritually you pick up that weight, and you begin to lift it, and it's not fun. And the longer you go, the weaker you seem to feel. Because fatigue sets in, and you're getting tired, and you just want to put the weight down. But God says, keep going, and keep going, because I have something incredible I want to do for you. The mature response to tough times is an affirmation of our faith. It is not the abandonment of our faith. When it gets tough, guess what? The tough get going. That's a great statement in the world, and a lot of people understand that. Over many of the weight rooms that I've seen, no pain, no gain. But let's understand, there's a spiritual aspect to that. You know, the people who really want to see God work in their lives and the will of God, they keep going, and they keep pushing, and they hold stronger to their faith. When adversity comes, it tries to separate you from your Lord and your God. Instead, it should push you closer to Him. And that's the other part of all of this. Let me tell you, go take you to Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 2 through 5. It says this, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering. Can you believe the Word of God really says that? We rejoice in our suffering. I'm sorry, but I always equate rejoicing with excitement and celebration. This is fun stuff. I associate that word with feel-good moments. He said, I rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance in character, character hope, and hope does not disappoint. Isn't it obvious that God is interested more in your spiritual growth and your spiritual character than the things that you have and the people you know? He is more interested. Listen, young people, the rest of your life, the world's going to tell you to accumulate this and try to be that. But knowing your God is going to be the most powerful thing that you'll ever hold on to. And I tell you, it's just dynamic, and God knows how to get us there. Remember the church in Revelations, the second chapter, the church at Smyrna? Let me take you there also. It's Revelations, the second chapter. This is what it says. It says, I know your afflictions and your poverty. Your poverty. Your afflictions and your poverty. The next phrase says, yet you're rich. Has anybody said, hey, you're penniless? And you're suffering right now, but you're one of the wealthiest people I know. I mean, that's what it sounds like. But he says, I know the slander of those who say that they are Jews and they're really not. But they are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. That's telling you you're headed there. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. And you will suffer persecution for at least 10 days. But be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Remember, the title of this thing is When Things Don't Make Sense. And I'm not trying to glamorize suffering, but does it make sense when God will let us suffer? Does it make sense when God will sometimes schedule struggle into our life? Well, let me ask you, how many of you have decided that you understand why hurt comes and why some things are painful and why, you know, you face adversity and difficulty? I haven't figured it out, so if you do that, please write that book. I want to read it. How to figure out all of these things and make sense out of it. But I do know this much, that as a parent, God at times has given me the wisdom that while my child wanted this, I know what they needed that. While they wanted to play with something that was dangerous to them, whether you measure it in a sharp instrument or electricity or whatever, they wanted to just play with that, and I knew that's not what they needed, so I took it away from them, causing pain. Now, it's a minor struggle. Have you ever had to hold your kid down for a shot? I've had to do that. You know, Casey did this Wonder Woman thing and ended up in the windowsill, split her head wide open. We take her to the doctor, and they put her in a papoose board. I didn't know what a papoose board was. It's just a child, you know, like restraining jacket thing, you know. She wasn't about to have it. Debbie and I had to hold this child to the table while they stitched up her head. And she's looking at me like, "You're my dad, for crying out loud." I go, "I know." It was horrible. And then Debbie said, "I can't take this." And she left. So now I'm the bad guy the rest of my life. Anytime we talk about that scar, it's all associated with me. But, you know, that's what we do. And God does the same thing. The second thing we understand is this. Not only do difficulties make us stronger, but difficulties make us pray. Difficulties make us pray. That maybe is the wrong way to put it. They don't make us pray. We choose to pray. Difficulties take us to a place to where we want to pray. And sometimes I wish that our first reaction was to pray. That's the perfect response, immediately pray. Sometimes we go through a couple of things and then we end up there. It doesn't matter whether it's first or last. You're going to find that the only solution to your real problem when difficulties arise is when you finally go to your Lord and to your knees. That's when the rescue starts to happen. The best thing that will ever happen to your prayer life will be adversities. Difficulties take our prayer life to a whole new level. There's just nothing like it. Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 3 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." And listen, you know, when things are going well and you're not sick and you have enough money in the bank, I mean, everybody always wants more money, and your car's doing fine and your bills are paid. You know, and we have this thing, and we do love God. It's not that we don't, but I'm going to tell you what. When you just lost your job and you're not sure how you're going to pay the bills, and there's doctor bills on top of that, I mean, it drives you to your knees. And it's not the way you would have wanted to go, but that's where you get there. If we could only take inventory of our lives, we'd admit a couple of things. Few answers really came to our prayer lives when we exercised shallow prayers. We were just saying to bless the Lord and, you know, cover the food and that type of thing. No, it's when you get down and you really have to. Remember, I remember hearing this phrase when I first got saved, when you suck carpet. It's when you literally on your hands and knees, you find yourself on your chest just laying before God. Listen, every one of us in here know a time when you had to do that. There was a time that all you could do, you were so broken that all you could do was literally just physically lay on your face and beg God for a miracle. You look back on it, it was one of the most cherished times of your life. It was the hardest of all hells. It was the darkest of all nights. But in the morning, God showed up, didn't he? God showed up. Because God always shows up. G.W. Wiggum was a pastor in the late 1800s. He said this, "Which would you rather have, a smooth path or a road that the Lord is compelled to reveal his face to you at every step? For me, I would rather have the intimacy of knowing Christ in all his love and his grace, even if it required a stony trail to get me there." We don't ask for problems. I don't get up every morning saying, "Lord, please bring them on, because I know it'll just only push me closer to you." I'm sorry, I'm not that deep if that's what you equate deep with. I'm not that faithful if you think that is faith. But I do understand that when difficulties come, I know what it's doing. It will push me to God, or it'll push me away from God. You know, remember that little cute little cliche, we like, this thing will either make you bitter or better. That's a cute little statement, and I agree with it in sense, but the spiritual part is missing from that. This adversity has come to break me and to show me that God has a will for my life, even in the midst of this. This may have God's name on it. Listen, a lot of evil things can happen out there, but God's not going to let any one of them go to waste in helping you understand that he is there. So when things don't make sense, and we don't understand the why behind the what, get ready to grow in your spiritual character and your spiritual integrity. And get ready to go to prayer, because that's where the battle is won. And you can't do that with a life that is non-existent in the realm of faith. It is your faith that takes you there. It's not just your faith. in that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's exercising that faith. And it's asking those hard, difficult questions. And it's saying, Lord, where are you? Hebrews, the fourth chapter, it says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help. I mean, grace to help in their time of need. I love the fact that God always has his arms open. I love the fact that God has always made himself accessible, but especially in the time of need. He says, come unto me. So when things look bleak, we don't understand, and we're walking around in a little bit of confusion, and the fog sets in, and the darkness seems to overwhelm us, we need to call on the name of the Lord. Amen? Here's how I want us to conclude tonight. I'd like to invite as many of you will. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and just give us some music. I would like to ask as many of you will to just come to these altars and bring these moments and these parts of your life and just bring them to the Lord collectively. But tonight also, will you bring somebody with you? And I'm not talking about the person next to you. I'm talking about the burdens of somebody else. God loves to honor the cry of his people. But you especially tonight, if you're hurting, if there's just this huge difficulty, if there's something that, you know, maybe your spouse doesn't even know about it, your best friend doesn't know about it, there's something that is just in there, I encourage you, bring it to the Lord tonight. Let your faith be exercised in bringing it to a holy God who says, if you'll place it in my hands, I will make something beautiful out of it. That's why he says, I will give you the joy that comes. Previously, it was put in nothing but ashes, but I'll turn it into something beautiful. That's what he wants to do in our life. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, part of the faith-filled life is walking through dark valleys, understanding and knowing that God is the one who is in control of everything that happens in that valley. He's also in control of the mountaintops that we get to travel to. And we thank you for all of those moments when it's great excitement. It's exhilarating. It's wonderful. I mean, everybody wants to raise their voice. Everybody wants to raise their hands. But God, tonight, it might be about the time when our heart is so broken we don't even know what to do with it. Our lives are hurting so bad that if it was measured in human expression, God, we would just be weeping. But today, we come before you. It's all a part of our faith. And we exercise that faith. God, help us to live the faith-filled life tonight of bringing our hearts to you, bringing our burdens to you, asking you, Lord God. We are not asking for explanation. We're asking for an experience. We just want to feel your presence. Because God, as long as we know your hand is on our heart, your hand is on our life, that you control our lives, we feel your spirit in us, we know that all things are possible. That's a part of our faith, and we cry out tonight, Lord God, give us, once again, that experience. Bless this time, Lord, as we come to this altar and we come into your presence asking you to bless us tonight. Give us the faith that causes us to keep going forward toward the perfect expression of your will, regardless of the explanation. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask as many of you can, stand to your feet, join me in this altar. Let's ask the Lord to just bless us tonight. It's not being selfish. It's just calling upon him because he is waiting to hear from you in the first place. Amen.